trader. Want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Good afternoon, friends, and welcome to the Thursday edition of Prosperity for God's People. Today is Thursday. It is the 24th day of February, 2011. Glad you could join us. Let's have a quick look at the numbers. We've got some audio issues, another new headset, and it's not working out. The Dow's off by 71, S&P is down by 5.5, the comp is off about a point. Michael, are you with us yet? How about you, Bert? Can I get a witness? See if we can crank that volume down a bit. Somebody in the chat room, let me know if you can hear me. Hey, Rob. Okay, I just turned the mic down because the sound coming back through the headset was scrambling my brains, what's left. How about now? Can you hear me now? Yep. Thank you, Keith. All right. Thanks, everybody. Okay. Everybody says yes. Okay, that's how we start a professional podcast each and every day here at CFRN with audio checks across the audience. Because that's how we roll. Okay. All right. Thanks. All right. We'll jump right into this thing here pretty quick. I want to show you where we were yesterday when we closed out the show. Well, I can show you a better picture than that. Because I'm a man of many pictures. I put this on the blog last night, and I know not everybody reads the blog, and we need to talk about that, but we'll save that for another episode. All right, picture. There we go. Okay. Now, I did this. I made this snapshot last night. Yesterday, we had talked about this area here up 1319. We had typed in watch for dynamic resistance. We hit the 1319, and then we had this drop into the 1300 area. Those of you who were tuned in yesterday, you remember I put this little bar in right here. Okay, And we said, okay, 1,300, will it hold? I believe it was David that had a number down around 1,298, somewhere in that area. And lo and behold, I typed in, watch for support to appear, dynamic support. The dynamic support resistance prints in real time. Once it prints, it doesn't unprint. Okay. So we got the dot here. Support. And then last night I said, watch for resistance to appear. Now from this dynamic resistance to this dynamic support, that's a 19-point drop. Now, this is kind of picture-perfect right here. Do you always see that? No. I mean, you had a drawdown of literally nothing on that trade. And you had the ability, if you were to have taken this trade, to enter right at the support area. That's not always the case. And let me show you. I had typed in here, watch for support to appear. Put a little arrow. Okay, price rallies on the open of this candle. We get dynamic support. Could you have entered down here? No. This is the mathematical area for support. Okay, this is what the formula comes up with. But here, price played right into your hand and you got to enter beautifully. It's not always going to happen. Here is where this candle opened. Okay? This is 30 minutes. Now, again, on a 30-minute chart, I'm sorry, this is an hourly chart. On an hourly chart, trying to time entries and exits off of an hourly chart is difficult at best. You want to use that as a bigger picture framework, something to get an idea of where the market's at, where the big picture dynamic support and resistance is. Now, for someone who swing trades and position trades, an hourly time frame might seem small. But for those of us who trade the E-mini futures markets intraday, an hourly time frame is quite large. So do you take your entry here or here? No, this gives you an idea. Now, this was an instance where this would have lined up with your smaller time frame and got you in picture perfect. Here, you got to work for it a little bit. Price opens here on this 30-minute candle. It goes to here, all the way to here, closes here. But this was the entry candle. If you had bought this on the open, when your dynamic support appeared, you would have had a drawdown of a couple points, okay? But what happened is from this entry here at 1302, we rallied up. This actually, we got up to almost 1312. So this arrow, I can't move it because it's on a picture. I'll show you on when we go to the live chart. I put this picture last night because last night we hadn't got any resistance and we didn't know if this rally was over. See, 10-point rally so far. That's what had happened. Now, I'm not calculating it from down here. And I'm not calculating it from here. Not really even calculating it from here. Calculating it from here. Because this is the realistic place that you could have entered the trade. This was the earliest indication here. Okay. Candle opens. You got dynamic support printing down here. Entering here, are you mentally going, wow, that means I got to risk back to here? That is correct. That's why you're going down to some smaller time frame to give you that entry that you're looking for. Here, this was just really nice. All right, so here we go. Last night when I took the snapshot, price had ran up 10 points so far, and on the blog it says, watch for resistance to appear. Okay, that's all I wanted to do is I wanted to just point that picture out from last night. Now, here's the same thing, but this is a live chart flowing in real time. Okay, that 10-point rally that we had, that we said so far, okay, that was, in fact, so far. It never went any higher than that. And then on the overnight, we got dynamic resistance right here. Where could you have actually entered the trade? Right here, 1308. Where was your risk? Right above 1310 and a quarter. Okay. Now this is, again, an hourly time frame. When we trade on very small time frames intraday, we risk 2 points. When you're looking at a bigger time frame, you're going to have to embrace a larger stop because you're embracing a larger target. I'm not saying you should enter an exit on the hourly chart. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying let that lay the framework for the trade that you want to take. So if you entered short here at 1308 on the open of this candle, knowing that you're risking up here, okay, from 1308 down to 1294 is, well, let's call it 13 points. Okay, there's an actual, 16-point drop here, roughly? Yeah, about a 16-point drop. But what you could have, what was tradable or achievable if you got in here and got out picture perfect down here was really about 13 points. Okay. And then from here, where you get dynamic support, where could you legitimately enter the trade? Not down here, but here. You enter here, you're risking the other side. Okay. So from here, 1296 to 1310, that's a 14-point rally. That's if you could stay in through all that transpired for that to happen. And then, of course, that requires that you got out at exactly 1310 and you didn't draw down and lose anything. So I'm not trying to paint a picture here that says, you know what, just trade off of these. No. What I'm saying is use the indicator. Those of you who are CFRN partners and have access to the indicators, use them against a larger time frame to know if you want to be looking for a long trade or a short trade. Now, once we printed dynamic support, am I saying there were no smaller time frame short trades available? No. Obviously, if you got short here, you could have traded that short to here, down to here. Okay. But if you know the direction of the market from a larger time frame perspective, and if you go with that, let that be your friend. I don't even want to use the trend as your friend thing. I just let the direction that the market is naturally flowing in. If you kind of get that wind at your back, it makes it easier to pull out that 1 point, 2 points, whatever it is you're chasing, whatever you're after, whatever your goal is. Now what we're doing is we've already got support. So now we're waiting for resistance to print. And timing in just like I did yesterday. Now you're going, well, wait a minute though, but things almost retraced almost that whole move and it hasn't printed any resistance. Exactly. Perhaps on the open of the next candle, get some resistance here. Okay. And if so, we'll look at a potential entry. But for now, we're still dealing with the support. So see how this works? Resistance to support to resistance to support to resistance. Michael, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Welcome, welcome. That is me. Glad to have you with us. New headset making me crazy. It's not as bad as the one I had the other day, but it's almost. I'll drive all over town to find the exact not-so-good headset that I sucked up into the vacuum cleaner last night. Because, comparatively speaking, that one was a dream. So.
Well, I'm going to send you a headset.
No. Okay. All right.
I have two different ones that I use all the time. One of them I have backups for. The one that I'm talking into right now, I have backups for because I run over the cords a lot with my chair. But
Really?
Oh.
Who makes
it? Maybe multiple months, anyway. this one is a Logitech, and I have another one that's a Microsoft.
I almost bought the Microsoft last night, but it had the behind-the-head thing, you know, the wrap around your neck.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
yeah, I don't like that.
You know, I was trying to stand in the store and go, can I twist this some way that I can just put it over my head like a normal headset's supposed to be? Because that behind-the-neck thing, you know, ponytails get in the way of all that, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I forgot about that.
I might have to put my hair up in a bun or something if I were going to use that one, so. Anyway.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
right.
I do the one on top of the head.
Bert, are you with us yet? Mike Reed's supposed to be dropping in today. He was trying to. Hey, Bert, what's up?
What's shaking?
How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Good, good.
Got a few bean trades in there. I'm sure you heard the dinging in the background.
I did.
All right.
Did we do well? Did we get stopped out? What happened?
No, the first one we took profit on half, and then got stopped out, and then we got back in, and then we made profit. So we made it back and made a few bucks. We're just basically green on the day.
Good, green is good.
Yeah. But other than that, see if this market can rally here. I like that hourly chart that you have up. That's a lot of the stuff that I look at. I never thought about putting, and that's the SR lines, right? The dots, support
mm-hmm.
resistance.
It's the CF SR.
Yep. I am now going to implement that in my stuff because, you know, I'm an hourly type of guy. So I think there's something to be said. I think that low is going to hold. You mentioned yesterday 1298 and 96 would be an important level for us, so we'll see if it sticks or not.
Now, let me just show for a moment what can happen. Okay, I showed what looked really, really nice, and everybody's like, oh, man, I got to have that.
Good stuff.
Okay.
There you go.
Let me just show you. Okay.
There's an ugly one.
Here's support. Okay. Support goes to resistance. You have a little bit of a drawdown. Yeah. But the point is support goes to resistance, back to support, back to resistance.
Wow, this is fun. Look at that. Perfect.
And then we have Sunday night.
Yep.
Where you hopefully got stopped out. If you were using this, you got stopped out somewhere in here.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
And you're not down here going, oh, man. Or even worse, it got back to here, which put you back to a reasonable stop out.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh, yeah, it's going to rally now. And
yes,
you got a double-dip recession in your very own trading account. And now you're, like, just going, oh, man, I'm going to never trade again? If I can just get back to break even.
Yeah, that's tough.
All right. Okay, so there it is, guys, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Will there be times that it actually, that resistance fails to hold? Yes. Will there be times that support fails to hold? Yes. Will there be times that your entry is not optimal, that you've got to risk a little bit more to be in the trade? Yes. Will there be times when you don't have to risk as much, like this short trade? Yes. If you entered here on this open, even on an hourly chart, you're risking a little over 2 points to participate in this. Here, same scenario, 1296, support was down here at 94 and a quarter. Again, and anytime you can get in on an hourly time frame trade, in my opinion, and only risk 2 points to
mm-hmm.
participate in that potential move, that's an excellent risk to reward ratio. And so
Absolutely.
Here, getting in at the entry, at the open of this candle, allowed you to participate in this, risking just back here. Okay. All right. Do we still have a webinar today?
We do.
That sort of changes the perspective of our tick charts and all that, doesn't it? Look at that. Those larger time frames.
Oh, yeah, it does.
It makes it so simple.
Well, here's the thing. you know, I'm a swing type of guy, and I do hourly stuff, but at the same time, you know, if nothing's going on in big picture stuff, I'll scape it down to, you know, the tick charts. So you have a blend of a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Again, our sentiment indicator went bearish Sunday night and has remained bearish right up to this moment. And if you'll look here and here, this is an intraday chart. This does not have the Globex session. Got this double bottom right here, 1298. So do we rally up out of here? That's the question. What are your thoughts, Bert? And there's a little trend line for you. Now you get above that trend line and price gets back above the sentiment indicator, then we'll have bullish conditions potentially up to, you know, the first hitch would be right here, and then here, and then here. Drop down to a 10K. We potentially have a long trade setting up here. The DMT is not aligned yet. But this 1298, we just tested that bottom, okay, from yesterday. So there's a double bottom in place. Now you can't see that on this chart because we just drilled down to a smaller time frame, 10K. If we go to the 2100 tick, same thing. You can't see that. 30 minute. Yeah, we can see it if I draw it up. Like that. Now, here's an interesting thing. Let's go back for 1 minute. Okay, to this intraday chart. Okay, it's very easy to see on this 7 minute chart, intraday, this double bottom. I mean, you can't miss it. But when you go to the Globex session, which is what this 30 minute chart represents, okay, we're connecting those same bottoms at 1298. But look at this. Now, this happened on Globex. So someone who is using only an intraday chart would go perfect double bottom. But, you know, you can't say that didn't happen. It might have happened on light volume, any number of factors, but price did. There were people who bought and sold at 1293 and a half. There were buyers and sellers at 1293 and a half. Some people will go, well, nope, market's low is 1298. Well, I have evidence that would stand up in court that says there was activity from 9350 all the way back up to 98. So, but if what you do and how you trade is based off the intraday charts, then all you have is a nice little double bottom. What's the relevance of all that? Does it change anything? Does it stop you from putting on or taking off a trade? No, it doesn't. Now, here's another example of, on a 30-minute time frame, dynamic resistance. Here's support gave way. Resistance held. Support held. Now we're already printing resistance on the 30-minute chart at 1307.75, which leads me to believe that once we get this next candle over here on the hourly, we'll probably get our first resistance dot. And if we print that way up here, is it going to be feasible to try to enter something way down here? No. No, I would then wait for price to pull back up to that resistance area and look to get short. So, Bert, crude, the big news. What do you think? We broke $100 a barrel.
Bert? I don't know if Bert's available.
All right, Bert's busy. And you got to take off.
Yeah.
You got to leave early today?
Not early. It's about the normal time for me, anyway.
Oh.
But
okay.
Let's see. Now the crude right now is trading at $99.41. It broke $100 a barrel last night around, well, early this morning around 2:55. Right now it's been trading wildly all day. It's been a very active market today. Lots of trades, lots of opportunity. I don't know, looking at it right here, the ES has also moved around quite a bit today. Unfortunately, it hasn't positioned itself just right to take a lot of trades on the 2100 tick. Let's see. Crude is moving up right now. It's at 99.5. Most of the day today, from the open, most of the day today, it's been below $100 a barrel. Pretty much all day from the open. Just scrolling back to make sure.
Yeah, let's have a peek at it.
Now it peaked at 103. Yeah, okay, right after the open, it went over 100.
Right up here, 103.40, I think it hit.
Yep, that was the peak. And it was...
I typed this in yesterday. I guess we can get rid of that.
Yep.
So the question has been answered.
Which it went there. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, this is from in 1 30-minute period. And again, this is this was during the Globex session. It ran from 99, I can't really see the price in there, about $99, we'll call it. 99 and change. It ran to 103.20. Now that's this big blue candle, that's just 30 minutes. That's the same 30 minutes as this little candle here.
Yeah,
this little guy
yeah,
right
it ran,
here.
It ran quickly. Once it broke 100, it went fast. I think I had shown earlier there was, on the 4-tick range chart, there was one period where in 3 seconds it had gone up 100 ticks, which is a full dollar. In 3 seconds. So it's, you know, it was really active then, and really active right now. It's up at 99.84 right now.
Here's a good indication of how volatile this oil market is. Here's dynamic resistance. Broken. Support. Smashed. Resistance. Broken. Support actually holds here. Resistance holds here, and support is attempting to hold here. Okay. So, might this right here paint a picture that the market is going to settle down, maybe accept this price area and be comfortable here for some period of time, whatever time period that might be, potentially. But rarely will you see this in the ES or the YM. They're just very sedate by comparison. They don't tend to break out above or below repeatedly, over and over. They will occasionally, and you have to be prepared for that. And that's why you always trade with a stop. Now if we come over here to the Euro has behaved. Here's dynamic support. Here's resistance. We traded through resistance. And we hit the weekly zone at 820, 825. And now we're just kind of rolling sideways. Yeah, I did get an email from Mike Reed, and he was going to join us this morning, but I think he misplaced his link. So, Mike, can you check and see if he's in with... Well, here, I'll check. He might have had to come in as a regular attendee. I don't see him.
I can't see over there right now.
All right, I got it. No, he's not in there.
All right.
All right, Mike, if you do come in, if you're listening and if you do come in, just shoot me a text message in the box there in the chat box. And that will pop up a question mark. And we'll just go straight away to our studios in beautiful downtown Las Vegas. And apparently we'll do it without a sound file. Good morning, David.
Is he refusing to come in without the sound file?
You know, it's playing. I'm not...
Yeah, I can't hear it either.
Not quite sure what happened. Let me back it up. This new headset. Maybe that was just a bad file. But I don't think so. Sound files are not playing. Oh, there we go. All right, now he'll come on. How space age is that thing? Look at it. Can't wait for that free trial to expire. It's like something from the Jetsons. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Las Vegas.
Good morning, Dwayne. How are you?
Yeah. Well, despite everything, I'm really trying hard to keep a good attitude. Do you hear that? You hear that, Michael?
Well, that's good morning.
You hear that thing? It's like something from the Jetsons. It's a sound thing.
Oh.
I like the sound effect. I just don't like
the sound effect is good. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
The effect it has on the sound.
I'm all right. I'm all right. How are you?
Good. You feeling better?
I'm feeling better than I was yesterday, and my children are too, which is definitely.
I know it's hard to see. It's hard to think you're walking around making everybody ill around you. You know.
Yes. Yeah.
That's not a good feeling.
My concern. Yeah.
Anyway, so what, Michael?
Nothing. I was just thinking. It's totally unselfish of me.
Well, let's see. We could talk about a lot of different things today. There's quite a bit happening. I don't know where to start. Dwayne, where would you like to begin? Or would you like me to just spin the dial?
You know what? Yeah, go ahead, spin the dial. We'll talk about the euro. We'll talk about the euro as it works itself in, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Let's see. For now, for the S&P, we had some interesting activity on the overnight. And as you know, there are two separate markets, in a sense, when it comes to the E-mini. You do have the overnight market, and you also have the regular pit-traded S&P, which doesn't reflect what happened on the overnight. And what did happen on the overnight is that we went all the way down to, I think, is it 93.50 or 90? I don't have it up right in front of me here.
The overnight?
The overnight.
The overnight went down to
93.50?
That's what it looks like, 93.50.
Yeah. We consider that a spike of 95, which is an important level for us. Globex went down and satisfied that. And then, we're at a critical juncture on the downside now because today is one day late on the turning point calendar for a bottom. So what the market is doing right as we're speaking right now, this is considered potential buying territory. We're actually long in the market right now from 1298.75, and we're going to see if we can stay with this with a close stop. We would be at a break even now because we've taken one half off. But the idea is that the market's at a critical juncture on the daily chart, and so any of the important timing points where potentially the market would reverse inside that one day late period is a very, very important point. This is some of my best trades have occurred when I just gave my money to money managers and went fishing. No, I'm just joking. Have occurred when you have a turning point due at a critical price level inside a larger turning point. So in this particular case, we have the turning point calendar telling us of one day late February 24th is today, so we're one day late for the bottom, the February 23rd, and we're putting in an important turn right now, potentially, on the market inside that low. So we're, you know, we take a shot here because this is a, and I hate to use that term, but I did, and we'll see if the market firms up here and gives us an opportunity to, you know, be in for a much larger multi-day move up from this bottom. And of course, how the market handles this bottom, the bottom time-wise, I'm not addressing price levels just yet, but how the market handles this level is very important, or the levels that are listed in our panel, and I'm sure in yours as well, Duane, because it'll tell us about the internal condition of the market, whether it's weak or strong, based upon these various things. So,
based upon our stuff, the market is the weakest it's been in the last 16 months.
Okay, that's interesting. And what is that based upon?
It's based on the pullback. That's based upon we blew out our lowest weekly trading zone on the S&P and on the YM, uh-huh. And we've remained outside of them on the ES since Sunday night. No, Monday,
uh-huh.
Monday afternoon, and uh-huh. That has not happened in 16 months. Hasn't happened.
Oh, okay.
And so for us, that's, you know, that's a big thing. I mean, we have a playing field every week, our highest zone, our lowest zone, and some uh-huh. zones in between, and the price will uh-huh. ping-pong itself back and forth from zone to zone to zone. Oh, it skips a zone and goes to that zone. But
mm-hmm.
by end of the week, it's still on the playing field.
Right.
This week, it dashed off the field prior to the market even opening on Monday morning, which Monday, I know it was a holiday, but nonetheless, it was a huge sell-off for the markets to be closed. You know, a lot of action took place on a closed market. And for the S&P, it hasn't. That player has not walked back onto the field, and it's now Thursday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to get back onto the playing field by the close of business tomorrow, we would have to trade above 1324. And could that happen? Sure. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't rule anything out. I wouldn't put money on it. But doesn't mean I wouldn't trade long. It's just that I wouldn't place some kind of a trade that says we're going to close above 1324 by the close of business tomorrow. So you
asked, by the close of business tomorrow. Oh, I see.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Because that ends of the week. It's a weekly trading zone. So that's the
right,
end of that time frame that we're looking at, and it will mark the fifth time in 16 months. The price has closed outside of a weekly zone. Now, usually it only closes outside by like a day, maybe 2 days,
mm-hmm.
a couple points, okay, for it to spend the entire week outside. I don't know. That's
mm-hmm.
I don't have enough data, if you will, or
mm-hmm.
experience with this particular thing to really say what that means. 5 years from now, I might
mm-hmm.
be able to look back and go, oh, yeah, this reminds me of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
It was a February. It was a cold.
It was a beautiful day.
Yeah, it was a
cloudy
day
in the Mideast. cell phone coverage was weak in the area that I live. You know, just
exactly.
I gotcha. Well, very good. Well, under normal conditions, in spite of how we close on the week, and I would agree with you that the market intends, you know, this is going to be a bad weekly close, and we're going to close well below important levels. But the fact is that once we put this bottom in, as long as we don't go much lower, let me put it this way: timing-wise, we have an important low, and there should be a multi-day bounce off of this bottom. That could be pretty impressive, and we're going to give out the numbers. I don't have them directly in front of me, but for subscribers and for your listeners as well, we'll give those numbers out for where this is going to go. And it should be pretty good, in spite of the fact that we have this kind of weakness. But that's what markets do. You know, markets always look the worst in a general way of saying things, and then that's right when they turn. That's when they suddenly look really good. But it's too late at that point. The market's already turned, and that's why you have to learn how to buy and sell, buy weakness and sell strength. Because by the time many systems are indicating strength, a whole lot of the move that they say strength is being indicated by is over.
Mm-hmm.
O-V-E-R, that's how you spell over.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times people have to learn to, or not a lot of times, I think it's a good idea for people to learn where the critical levels are and learn to buy and sell against those positions, especially if you're going to be willing to hold for important targets, or you have important targets that you know have some reality to them, not just some, you know, formula or something that you're using necessarily. This is not to make any comments about a particular technique, but just some, you know, you want to have a specific reason to be in the market with a specific known quantity type of target, something that you can trade to that you know has a high probability under normal conditions of being reached, that sort of thing. Whatever that is, whether it's a formula or whatever it is, you want it to be a quality signal. That's a better way of putting it. So, and some of the best traders that I know, and I don't consider myself anywhere near these traders in their skill sets, because they have psychological skills, and I mean, when we talk about skill, most of the time I'm referring to psychological skill. And you know, if you want to see where your real skills are, it's not in buying or selling per se, it's in managing the position, and that's where the real psychology and those skills come in. But I know a number of guys that trade sizable. The biggest one is this Mike that we have had on the show a couple times, but several others who are sizable traders, a lot of them do just what we're talking about. They're buying weakness and they're selling strength. But they're doing it at levels that they're expecting the reversals to occur at, or that the market would slow there and give them, basically a reversal. So can they be wrong? Of course they can. They could be stepping in front of a freight train, but a lot of the bigger gains that they make are from those types of setups. It's aggressive trading, and it does require a bank account and skills, et cetera, to do that properly. Most of these guys, by the time they've gotten to that skill set, they have built up an account by trading smaller in that same fashion. And that helps to be a guy rather than just starting. That's why I always warn people to not have a big brokerage account, not to start with one. If you have, you know, a person has $25,000, let's say, and he says, yeah, I really want to get into trading. If he puts $25,000 into a brokerage account, that's a mistake. It's much better to start small and through whatever means you have, build that up, that account up. That's really the way to do it, to start big,
because
you'll throw it all away.
And the reason behind that, guys, because I know for some of you that if you haven't experienced it, you don't understand it. But here's what happens. If you put $25,000 in the account and things don't go as you had planned, you don't get that gut check, that reality check, until the 25 is gone, and your broker says you have to send more money.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the 25 and you set it aside, okay, this is the money I'm going to learn to trade with, or begin my trading career with, however you want to word it, you put $5,000 in that actual trading account. Okay, now let's just hope you do really well, and you have nothing but green days, okay? On the other hand, if it doesn't go that way, when that initial $5,000 is used up, there will be a reality check, because you won't be able to place a trade. Your broker will call you, you'll call your broker. You will have to wire additional funds from that nest egg into that trading account. And can that be done in a day? Few hours, yes, but it's having to go through that process, which will make you slow down and think about what you're doing, how you've done it, what mistakes you may have potentially made, what have you done that you can do better. So the advice David is giving you is, in my opinion, it's good advice. we don't want to scare you away from trading. In fact, just the opposite. We want to see you survive as a trader.
Right. I want to scare you away from doing the thing that, that scares everybody away from trading ultimately, which is to lose all the money in a big account.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. And it's just it just makes sense to start smaller and to really practice and try to build up an account and see if you can do that. It takes practice just to break even, quite honestly, for a while. You know, first you're just losing, and then later you get better and you lose less, and then finally you're breaking even. And at some point you start to be able to make some money. And the real thing for me, it finally settles in on a really basic idea, which is that if I believe the market should turn or should find resistance or support at a certain level, and if it's confirmed for me, at least initially, that it's doing that, I buy or sell at that level. And if it later stops me out of that, I'm very pleased to be out of the market because I don't want to be in it for another leg, if there is one, in the reverse direction, or I may even potentially be a seller to try to take advantage of that leg. But I certainly don't want to sit there and hold it. And so this is part of what you want to learn to do, which is to know your areas, know what would present a reasonable trade for you, and then take action, and then manage the risk. Those are the things. So I know we talk about this time and time and time and time again, but it really does take time and time and time for many people, including myself, to get the idea that we're talking about you. We're talking about your trading. We're not talking about the guy sitting next to you. And that's what happened to me. Is I took many, many years to realize this is about me, not about the guy next to me. And I learned through a number of different ways, which everybody does, one way or the other. And my big experience was with this trading account that I was trading for somebody else. And I've gone through that story before. But it essentially showed me that I really did know what was good trading. I just wasn't patient enough and wasn't willing to do good trading in my own account. I was really, in a sense, just looking for the free money. And that attitude has to get out of your head. You may have it in there without even knowing it. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday a little bit about whether or not this is work, whether or not you should feel, not that you should or shouldn't, but feel guilty about, you know, sitting around doing, you know, essentially what some people would think is just betting in the markets to make money. But this is actually a very, very, I don't know what the term is. I don't know if I want to use believable or what word, but this is work. This is a skill. This is investing. That's what this is. And it's short-term or long-term, whatever time frame you want to trade on, but it is a form of investment. And that's what I consider myself. I'm a market enthusiast. I love the idea that I can invest in the markets and make money in the short-term or in the long-term or lose money. I'm not in love with the idea of losing money, but I love the idea that I can manage the risk and that it doesn't just run away from me. Like, we talked about this before, the people that did the, second trust deeds on houses,
mm-hmm.
you know, they invest their money and then the housing market crashed. Well, it doesn't matter what their stop was. They got none of their money back. They can't get out when they see things turning bad. It's not every investment that allows you to get out. You gave them your money, they get to keep it, and they get to pay you back over time. Well, when the house drops to half its value, they're not paying you your money back. It's all gone. And so whoever invested in that lost big chunks of money because they couldn't do what we as traders can do, which is to manage the downside. It's huge. Until you really understand the beauty of what you're being allowed to do in the markets, you won't view the stop as in the proper light, which is that it's an edge that you have. It's not a punishment. It's an edge, and it's a big edge. A lot of people wish they had a stop that they could have placed in various investments. You know, people who own homes, we all do. We all own homes, and the home values have gone down, and, you know, you can either sell it for less than it's worth or you have to hold on to it, but you had no place where you could just stop yourself out like we can in the markets. So,
and, you know, time frame is an issue, too, investing, mm-hmm. short-term investing. Many people are able to readily accept that, okay, if I put my money in this 401k or wherever I put it, and with the intention of leaving it there for a long time,
mm-hmm.
that's not risky. That's not gambling. Well, a lot of people found out that thinking was not necessarily 100% correct.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Some people owned stock in MCI, and some people, in fact, people who worked for MCI, whatever it was called at the time, World Global Com, whatever, right. Whatever the name of that thing was. But I think everyone knows what I'm talking about. I mean, the amount of time, your exposure in the market, you can look at that the completely opposite way. The more you lessen your exposure, the less likelihood you have of getting your head handed to you. And the time frame, because back in the 90s, the whole day trading thing got a really bad name. You know, everybody's losing their houses, which was kind of hard to do because there was a period there, all you had to do was just buy something, and it went up. But still, people lost substantial sums of money, and the internet trading thing had just come along, and the tech stocks.
I was looking forward to sort of day trading houses at one point, but
that was almost a reality. But you know, if I had to have my appendix removed, and I had two surgeons, and one goes, man, I can have that thing out in 15 minutes, and the other one goes, well, I'm a little more conservative. We're looking at about 3 days on the table,
mm-hmm.
maybe 3 weeks. Could turn into years. I'm going with the 15-minute guy. Now, I'm not saying that no one should lay up money in a retirement fund and a nest egg for long-term appreciation. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying those people who tell you that trading in smaller time frames is gambling or super risky, well, you're controlling your risk. It's very limited. When you turn off your computer to go eat dinner or go to bed or go to the gym, you're no longer exposed to the market.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry if the CEO is going to run off with the money or the secretary or the coffee pot or any of that, because your exposure is limited to whatever window you choose to invest in. Now, that's aside from your long-term portfolio.
Right.
It's a day
job. No, those are all great points.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
No, I just that's it. Just a nice little friendly reminder that you manage your risk. This morning we had a trade in soybeans where we originally got long at a point where a turn would normally occur. It did, but the market needed in that same time period to go down a little bit lower, and that stopped us out. And then we reentered the market as soon as because the time period was still correct, and the market reversed very nicely off of we bought 13.14 in the May beans this morning, and on our aggressive exit, took a nice exit up at, I can't remember what it was, but maybe 13.24, like 10 cents later on the aggressive. Soybeans is in a position to do much more than that off of yesterday's bottom. So there's quite a bit, and my point though is that, you know, you can get stopped out. You've managed your risk. If the market reconfirms, we've talked about that, you jump right back in. And then look what the market does. Whoosh, right up, real fast. The easiest trade you've ever held. Because 9 times out of 10, most traders don't have that in them. They don't have the ability to do that. And that's why that's a skill set that you have to learn and have, which is the ability to take a little punishment and then go right back in and get it and get the ball rolling, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at that same point in the S&P, honestly, right now, where we're putting in an important bottom on a particular time frame, and they went down a little bit lower, tested yesterday. We had 1298, which is a level on the downside that they're still testing today, and so, you know, this is potential buying territory, and you can manage the risk. It can be very small, and the market, it will give you an indication by confirming or not confirming. There's many things you can do with this, and you know, you have to love it. That's part of what I love about markets, is that it's not like you're handing your money to somebody and then you have to come back a year later and see if there's any money left. You get to manage it and trade. And you don't always have to do day trades. You don't always have to have the tiny small trades. You can trade for larger swings, which is what a lot of these daily chart setups that we've been talking about recently, the gold, the crude, and some of these others, and soybeans as well, are giving, where if you're willing to hold on the overnight, there's quite a bit of gain to be made. So I encourage people to consider that trading. Let's take a quick look also while we're firming up here. The market is putting this bottom in. We'll take just a minute here. And normally what we had forecast yesterday in soybeans, if people want to take a look at the May soybean chart, was that the market should advance from yesterday's low up to 1332. And they got up to 1332, they spiked it, they got up to 1336 in today's session, and then they had a nice reaction on the downside. We do expect a reaction off of the 1332 level. They've given us that reaction now, and now that is buying territory, that reaction, because a bottom is in, and really higher prices are indicated here. Barring some very unusual event or something, higher prices would be indicated. And so we're looking, I think, for, give me just one moment here, one moment for higher prices, just a minute here. Any breakout on the upside from today's high, we would want to trade up to first to 1350 on soybeans. That would be an initial place at or near that to go take some profits in the May soybeans. And then you'd want to hold your remaining position for a trade continuing up to about 1366 to 1368. So there's a nice setup. That's a lot of money in soybeans. That's not money you're losing. That's money you're making. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway.
I thought Bert was going to bring up a... just message Bert to bring up a bean chart, but I guess he's away from the phone.
Well, he may have stepped away.
He did,
He's having an out-of-office experience.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Michael, you there? You got a bean chart handy?
I do not have a bean chart handy, but I can bring one up if you want.
All right. I'll see if this
you can take a look at it. Sure, let me take a minute. We'll do that.
Give me this symbol, Michael. Let me see if it'll let me bring one up.
Do you want me to bring one up, Dwayne? Do you want me to take the charts and bring one up?
ZSF.
I'm sorry,
I didn't hear what he said.
Z.
No, neither did I. I think
he S. Michael.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Pieces of it.
ZSF 2-3.
1.
1. That makes sense. I don't think it's going to let me open this chart because I've got too many other charts already open.
Okay, no problem. It's no big deal, Dwayne. It's nothing we have to worry about, too. If people have any questions, they can ask.
What price are beans at right now?
Let me go take a look for you. The soybeans are trading at $13.27 right now. So this is off of, again, 13.14 early. Really hope people get what we said earlier, which is that they stopped you out, they reconfirmed, and then boom, they go right and do exactly what you... It's a very common experience amongst traders, isn't it? I was in, and then they stopped me out, and then they went and ran right to the damn number. Learn from that. Understand that that's what markets do. The reason they're able to run so easily is because 9/10 of people can't buy the market. But that means it's thinner and it's easier for people to move it up. I mean, I don't even know if that's even the case. The fact is that that's just how markets work. And so once they stop you out with your break even or small loss, and then they reconfirm, you definitely want to participate in that. Don't forget that, because that makes a very, very easy trade. It's very fast and very easy on the upside. So I look for that. I actually have said this before. I actually prefer to be stopped out of a position, especially when a larger move is forecast, because the market's always tricky before a larger move. That's something that needs to be on a T-shirt, because that's just the fact. And you should expect to be stopped out of a move like that, because that's what markets do. And then when they reconfirm, you want to get right back in and take the trade. Very similar to what we're doing in the S&P with this level right here. And right now. So anyway, so let's see. What else can we go over here? We also have gold, which is in a very important position as well. Dwayne, maybe you could, if you have one, could bring up a gold chart.
Michael, can you bring up gold? I'm maxed out. I couldn't even bring up beans. So I'm guessing I won't. I've already got 10 windows open, and I'd have to close something. And Michael, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Can you bring up goal?
Yeah.
Please, sir.
I can bring it up. Hold on a second.
Thanks very much.
All right. Let me bring up. I had a goal chart running here somewhere. Here we go.
Now, I can just tell people to just imagine gold bars, just imagine the metal, and then I'll talk about it.
All right. Well, here's gold.
That would be good. Okay, so we have been talking over the last several days, actually the whole week, whatever it was, about February 24th, because of the holiday, being the next important daily top in gold. And so today's market did give some early confirmation, the earliest, really, confirmation that a top would be in on gold. And now they've recovered some, so we want to watch carefully. We haven't done anything with gold yet, but we're looking for a move, a sizable move down in this market. And since this is the on-time day, it's plus or minus a day, so we are still potentially could go a little higher. And as you know, one of the things that would change the nature of this trade is if we were to go substantially higher from here, we would then still trade it, but we would trade for a less amount on the downside. So as it stands right now, we want to watch this time frame, because we're looking for potentially, if today, as an example, was the top, you know, because earlier they made a top here, we'd be looking for an initial move down to 1397, which is a sizable move down. That's just the initial target. Okay, you don't have to worry about the other targets, because there's bigger ones than that. But the first target on the downside, if today is the top, will be down at 1397. So that's a really tradable. There's a lot of room in that to trade. We're at 14, or basically 14.15 right now. I actually have delayed gold because this is not a market that I follow, but it would give us
14.14 even right now.
Okay. So you might want to, if your own systems and own trading and stuff are starting to look good for a reversal here as well, you might want to consider what we're talking about, because there's a multi-day trade in gold on the downside based upon this turning point.
Hello?
Bird, are you there?
Oh, hey, sorry, guys. The phones were buzzing and I saw a line ringing. Sorry, guys.
Okay, no problem.
I'll just sit back here and... What were you guys talking about?
We were trying to get you to bring up a bean chart. But
oh, I can do that.
That's okay. Michael's got the charts now. He just brought up gold.
Well, thanks, Bert. No, we appreciate your
gold there.
Oh, that's real nice of you.
I was like, I got some things going on. I was like,
I know.
Right. You were talking about soybeans. But you want to look at... I'm sorry, Michael, you want to look at the May soybean on the daily?
All right. Let me see if I can do anything on the daily first. I am.
For people who are watching and interested, the bottom that we've been buying, we're actually long in the S&P again, and the bottom, the market just put in a reflected wave bottom, and so that indicates to us that the market is going to reverse here. We also have an hourly roadmap that is running today as well. And Bert, did you get that? Did you see the roadmap? Or
I did see the roadmap. And in fact, I was one step. I actually had the same. My work was taking the long at 98.5 too. So
okay,
it kind of like your soybean trade kind of fell in place with my work.
Okay, good. No, I'm glad. That's a nice thing when two things you know, collide like that or come together. Now, we're not out of the woods entirely yet with regard to the S&P, but we do have very, very good early confirmation that roadmap is underway, and that means substantially higher prices would be coming. So we want to let this, you know, it's like food in the kitchen. You want to let it stew for a little while here and let them move around and do what they need to do, manage your risk on the downside here, and we'll see how the market handles this. But this is what I was talking about before. The market's putting in a very important bottom inside the one-day late bottom on reflected wave or on the turning point calendar. that is a potentially a very powerful setup.
Now, if you take the Globex into consideration, you have a very nice reverse head and shoulders for people who trade the patterns.
But I don't have dandruff, so I don't use that shampoo. But thanks for bringing it up. That's a little humor there, Dwayne.
I know.
Should be a laugh. There should.
That's why I laughed.
Okay, no, you're good. I know. I just heard a little dead air there, and I'm very sensitive to that. I want to know that if I say something that I just know is funny, I need to hear
that was
some laughter. Okay. No, I definitely understand that. If you're looking, he's basically saying if you're looking at the Globex, the pattern head and shoulders, which is a classic reversal type of pattern, is there if you look at the Globex session as well, including the Globex. So we covered soybeans, which are going to go higher, and I've mentioned the targets for people to trade on any breakout, the 1350, I think, and 68, 66 to 68. Some big moves, some nice moves on the upside there. We have the S&P giving its earliest confirmation. And, you know, a lot of times, if you are waiting for what you call comfort, the market is uniquely qualified to not give that to you, and still do the very thing that you are asking it to do, which is to have this big move. It doesn't usually give you comfort and give you the move, but you can have one or the other. You can have comfort, but probably aren't going to get the move then. You can have the uncomfortableness, which is a psychological skill that you trade under that pressure, and quite often you can have the move. And that includes being stopped out of a position. We were long in the S&P here a short while back. We had a break-even stop out. We had a one-point gain and then a reversal, and we got out. Then we re-entered the market here, and we're up. You know, the market's starting to firm up here. And so this may be a trade that we're in for the remainder of the day, depending on how the market handles the current levels. But either way, we're taking advantage of a setup that is a known quantity and is worth risking money on. And it's worth managing what you're risking on, because remember, whatever gains you already have taken, if you have any, you don't want to just throw those away. Just like you wouldn't throw your paycheck away, you know, on a silly horse race or on something like that. Although a lot of people do take their paycheck and throw it away on a silly horse race, but mm-hmm. a lot of people think what we're doing is a silly horse race. Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm talking about. You don't want to throw away previous gains by letting risk run rampantly against you. It's just a bad idea, and it never ends well, even if it works a few times in a row. And there's a lot of big traders that try to trade that way and had good runs and then are completely wiped out because that comes around to bite them. Risk is a real thing. It actually does exist. It's not theoretical. Risk is not theoretical. It's a fact. It's as fact as hard as that table sitting in front of you. The timing of when risk is going to come to try to bite you is a different issue. But the fact that it exists and the fact that it's going to come, that's a fact. That is a straight-up fact. So don't think of risk as theoretical. Think of it as absolute, even though it may not have to, even though you don't have a chance sometimes to let it, to see whether it's going to happen this time or not, you have to protect yourself from it because it's too late after the fact. So that's why people who climb mountains wear safety equipment, because they don't know if they're necessarily going to fall this time, but by the time they figured out that they're falling, it's late.
Yeah.
It's a little late to get that equipment on. So you don't always get to know in advance, but you do get to protect yourself and act as if, because it really is a real thing and really does exist. So let's see, we talked, oh, and then let's talk about the E6. Is that what it's called? The E6, the EU6?
Yeah. I've got that chart.
60.
So I'll go ahead and grab that back.
Okay.
Real quick.
I've got the chart, yeah.
Okay. Yesterday we talked about the April contract, Michael. Oh, no, sorry. Is that, I'm looking March. At the wrong.
March.
Here we go, the March
contract. On the 16th, correct.
Right, and we needed to see, under normal conditions, the market would continue to advance to 13 or 138.05.
Which it did
and
do.
Which it did today.
Overnight.
They spiked it. They spiked it, and they're trading right now at 137.95. So they're below that. Now, here's the deal. If they close below that figure, 138.05, then we are in a position to potentially start thinking about a top here. And for this market, as long as they don't break out, and this, again, I'm not an expert in this market. I'm not an expert really in any market, but I know a lot more about other markets than I do this. As long as we don't take out the high and just break out and start running, you know, just as the recent high that they made back on February 2nd, then there's an important turning point for this market coming up, and this would have a sizable reversal that we could trade. And I don't have all the numbers right now, but the first thing I want to see is how they handle today's daily close. And I understand that by waiting for the daily close, you often might miss some of the move, but I'll be very happy to give you, I don't have it right now, but I'll give you the full move that this thing would be intended to make off of this particular turning point. And it's pretty good.
Can you
so
see
there's
my
plenty
screen,
of room.
David?
I'm sorry?
Can you see my screen?
Yes, I can. Go
okay,
ahead.
Right here is the BTSD yesterday. The buy
okay.
the stupid
What's
thing.
What's the BTSD?
Buy the stupid thing.
Oh, okay.
Or buy the silly thing.
No, no. Silly thing.
Silly thing. I'm sorry.
Silly thing.
I guess my inflection was wrong. Buy the
That's
silly
right.
thing. BTSD. Anyway, I was right here yesterday. Here's
okay.
the 13805, which we got to. Now, I want to say this, that from here, where we... where you had said, you know, just, and I drew this
thing.
Trend line, and I said, you know, a break of the trend line could potentially confirm, and you said, yeah, just buy the thing. So it did run to here,
right.
which is, that's not a shabby move or trade any whatsoever. Then it ran into trouble here. On the overnight, it dipped back down to,
oh, okay.
back down to this level right here, 13700. And I'm pointing this out
okay.
to you just because... I know that you don't watch the Globex a lot. Okay, that's not really.
Well,
what
I don't trade in the Globex unless
you
I'm in the market. You know?
Yeah. However, the euro. See, what we
it really does.
Well, yeah, because that's their day session.
Yeah, that's their day session.
This,
right.
This here is their day session. Okay, it's what we call the overnight,
gotcha.
What we call the Globex, and they have to get up in the middle of the night to do, or stay up late, whatever, to do what we do. In the daytime. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm just, because it then did, once the London Open, okay, happened, then it did. It ran right to 13805. Ran right to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then pulled
mm-hmm.
back into this weekly zone, and then ran right up to this weekly zone. So, if someone had bought the silly thing here, there was a very nice profit
mm-hmm.
to be made on
oh,
this
good.
Move up, okay, but then it pulled back, and then it made that run to 13805.
Yeah.
So, it was,
okay.
Yeah. And so I think on the euro, if you're going to start to explore this market and work with it more and more, I think
mm-hmm.
on this one, you'll really have to take that overnight into consideration.
Right. And I think that's something, because if you don't, then euro going to lose a lot of money.
That's good.
A little humor there, Dwayne.
that's better than the out-of-office
experience. You have to manage
experience.
That risk.
Yeah.
That's better than what?
Better than the out-of-office experience.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just filled with clever quips. I know. No, good. That's a nice little example, and I've been watching the euro, this market, for the last couple of days, and I think there are some it's surprising. I'm telling you, it's surprisingly accurate with regard to how it responds to the spatial relationship stuff, which so far we're initially in this, but it's this and gold have been surprisingly good. And that's early confirmation that we've got the numbers, the base numbers and other things that are for us are required correct. It takes some time to figure that out. And another market that we have a broker that's interested in that I just want to play with a little bit is the 30 and 10-year notes. That market trades, that's a little unusual because it trades in either 16ths or 8ths or something, and the tick value that a market trades in does have some import. I'm not going to go into the detail right now, but the minimum tick value actually plays a part because you have to understand, and I'm sure everybody does, that that simply means that there are certain prices potentially that would never be seen. Like take the as an example the S&P. The S&P E-mini trades in quarters. So there are certainly no you know, if it's trading at 1300, it's going to go from 1300 to 1325. There's no price ever going to be seen between 1300 and 1325. That is the minimum tick value of the E-mini, and that's fine. But that is meaningful. That tick value has some import to a certain extent. So that may be something that some people have not considered before, that the market isn't moving across the spectrum of prices, literally all prices available, that there's a man-made imposition on what prices can trade. So you're not going to see the S&P at 1,312.5 cents, because the minimum tick is 1,325 cents. So it will touch that price by proxy, so to speak, by going through it and going to $1,325. It'll touch the 1,312, but it never trades literally at that number. So it's the bond market has something kind of like that, and so that I'm going to spend some time and work on that. But that's for some people to think about. It's not a really big deal. It's nothing that you have to really worry about. It's just that in reality, the reality that we're talking about, there are no impositions on the prices. Price moves from zero all the way up to 100 or to 1,000 or whatever number seamlessly, number by number. And then you can break it down into any number of fractions you want. Or you can be like Zeno, the philosopher, who said, well, if I go from here to here, that's 6 feet. And then if I cut that in half, that's 3 feet. And then if I cut that in half, that's 1.5 feet, and I've got that in half, that's 0.75, and on and on and on, I'll never get 6 feet across the room. He died not figuring out his own premise, which is that no movement is possible. Correct me if I'm wrong, if it wasn't Zeno, but I think it was. Did anybody know about that? Philosopher Zeno? Is this mic on?
All right,
I'll just keep talking. John. Everyone's just left. I'm having a wonderful time on the radio speaking.
No, I'm here.
Oh, that's
you're
good,
talking
right?
about that
it's
barbarian
okay.
principle.
I know. Really no Jackson Pollock, that's all.
Okay. That's good.
I know how to throw paint at a canvas. That's it. And put cigarette butts on it.
Oh, that's great. Okay, well, this guy had come up with the idea that you would have to – there's an indefinite number of divisions that you can make in the move – from here to there, so to speak, and therefore you never could get from here to there because there's always another division that you could make in whatever divisible piece is left, even if you get down to the atomic level of space. So it's talking about 6 feet, dividing it by three, then by three, by and dividing it in half, and you'd never be able to move. This is a guy who clearly needs a day job because he's sitting around thinking, no, I'm just joking. It's a very... still is brought up in philosophy, and I grew up in my home. My stepfather was a philosopher, and he actually had a PhD in philosophy, and so I got a lot of this stuff. So anyway, the reason I was bringing that up is now completely lost on me, but there was a reason.
Everyone
it had to do with, the smoothness of the prices. Yeah, the smoothness of the prices from zero all the way up to 100, we've imposed a minimum tick value. For people who are technical and stuff like that, you don't have to worry too much about it, but it has been something that I've looked at, and it has some import to the type of forecasting that we do because certain prices are never traded at. They're just assumed because of the minimum tick value. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So it's not a big deal. If you're technical and looking at this stuff, don't worry about it. I'm just bringing it up as one of the things that I looked into because I obsessed over this stuff and that it did have some interest. Anyway, so the 6E, the Euro, it's the Euro FX, whatever the heck this market's called.
Right.
Tomorrow, if we don't break out to new highs, this is a very important, we're at a critical juncture for this market. And there's a sizable reversal that would be due in this market. So it's going to be interesting to see where we end up over the next day or so for this. And then keep in mind what we talked about gold earlier as well. And
we're waiting for the gold to cross over 1408, right? We'll just wait for a settlement underneath that, and then we'll start probing the short side.
Well, yeah, I told Bert this morning that the natural reaction on the downside for the gold market, the initial reaction, is 1408, and I also told him that you could buy at or near 1408 for a day trade, did I not?
Yeah, you said as long as we stay at or above 1407, you could
it's yeah, you could buy it for a day trade.
Projected to go higher, yeah.
Yeah, and here we are. We're now trading at 14.14. That there's a $400 or $500 move based off that. 14.08 is a natural number for gold, and well, for any market actually, because it's 14.08. It's not related to markets, but it's a natural number, and it's also related spatially, spatially, spatial relationship wise in this market. So this is an important. The gold is right at a critical juncture again because of the February 24th date, and for the fact that it has reacted off of that 14.08. That if we had a gold messenger, we would have been trying to buy that this morning for an advance up to current levels. So I think an aggressive person, if they wanted to be aggressive, they could sell gold short right here and right now. This is aggressive. This is not a normal trade. And then any hourly close above 14.17 would have to be an exit until further confirmation. But the kind of move we're expecting in gold is pretty big, as I mentioned already. Just the initial target on the downside, if it confirms, initial, there's much more than that, but I'm not going to give it all to all right now. But it's 13.97. So you've got a nice little move coming. This would probably require overnight position and all that. So it's fun to look at these markets, try to figure out something good. And the fact that there are more than one market means that you don't have to make one market do what it is you're trying to, you know, have it do. You just find another market that's really showing it to you the right way, and then you'll be good to go. For the S&P, before I go, Duane, and I know that you've got other things going probably as well today, but if the market does confirm with continued hourly closes above that 1298 to 1297 level here, then we could expect a very nice advance off of you know, the levels that we're at right now, essentially one moment for important advance, essentially bringing us up to approximately 1310 to 1311. So how they handle this whole level right here and right now, what we're doing right now, is very important. So keep that in mind. And,
okay, question regarding that that Alan just asked. Okay. He wants to know what price on the S&P would negate that?
Negate the.
In other words,
well,
you're looking
has
for
to
an
continue
advance.
To close hourly above. Yeah, it has to close hourly above the 1298, 1297 level, worst case.
Okay.
Continue to close hourly, which, as an example, we're closing in 5 minutes here. So that's this would be a nice trade for people who like nice trades. If you're looking for trades where you lose money and stuff, you can try other trades. But this is a nice trade. I'm only playing with you there.
Okay.
But we have to see those hourly closes because that's this market may not be done quite on the downside. We're on the 1 day late, and they still may, you know, it's possible that they could press through to lower prices here after having this bounce. So let's see what they do here. And
another question:
if you do get stopped out, oh, go ahead.
Another question on the gold commentary. Someone wants to know if they could trade the ETF GLD. As mirroring what you're talking about
it.
In the gold.
I got it. You know, I'm not a real fan of trading markets by proxy like that. In other words, the gold is going to do something, and then you go to another thing that's going to move in concert with it. The reason I'm not a fan of it is because, not because it's not a really, it's not that it's a bad idea, but the problem is that each of these things are in different positions. And not having seen where the ETF is, it's hard to know if the ETF is really in a position as powerful as the gold itself is. I mean, is it possible that gold could move down a big move, but the ETF doesn't move very much? I don't know. I'd have to see it. So it's too general for me to answer without having seen the ETF that he's trading. But we have a lot of people that do that, to be honest with you. That's a very common question, you know, and I think a lot of people are successfully doing that in certain ways, like with the S&P, if we have a bigger call, and later with the gold and stuff like that. So it's doable. It definitely is doable, but I hesitate to give a real firm, and if this guy wants to put money on the line, I hesitate to do that until I see the ETF, because I don't know how distant the ETF is, how many levels away from the actual gold market it is. you know, it's like, well, yeah, we have the gold, and then we have the futures price on gold, and then, or we have the futures price, and we have cash, we have futures, and then we have gold stocks, and then we have gold this, gold that, and then finally we get out here to the fifth level outside the circle to gold ETFs. Well, you know, does that thing have any relationship to what gold's doing? I don't know. I'm assuming, of course, that it does. But I'm hesitant to tell somebody, because when I say something, to be honest with you, when I say something on the program here, I mean put your money on it. If I tell you about it, I mean I think it's good enough for you to put your money on it.
Interesting,
and
you
can't
should say the fifth level.
Ooh.
Because five is the number of something.
Yeah. it's a conspiracy. I know, that's good, Dwayne. You're bringing up the mystery of the numbers.
Mm.
David Williams said the number five, and he said there's five levels.
And he said it exactly after. He said it exactly 5 minutes after Dwayne made his last stupid joke.
Right, and this is the tomorrow's the fifth day of the week. I've got my fifth skin appointment next Tuesday. No, whatever. Remember the commercial where the I loved that when they used to do this when they had, it was a coffee commercial, and there's the husband and the wife, and there's another woman there, and the woman, the second woman, gives the husband of the wife a cup of coffee, and he's drinking it, and this is his second cup. And the first wife, in her head, with reverb on, with echo, says, Jim never asks for a second cup at home. I just love that. I just think that's fabulous. I mean, the reason, I can't remember why I'm bringing that up, but something you said triggered that. Some of the older listeners will remember that Jim never asked for a second cup at home. And it's the woman, that's her thinking, and it has kind of an echoey sound to it, because they're telling you as an advertiser that you should feel nervous about your coffee, especially if Jim, your husband, asks for a second cup. You better buy Uban, because you don't want your husband asking for a second cup, now do you, from some other woman. So I always loved that, and something you just said triggered that that memory. I'm sure, Bert, you have to be old enough if he's still with us here to have...
I'm in the background.
I don't know if you remember that commercial or not, but it's meaningless because we're just being playful here.
I'm thinking about bringing a Mexican AM radio reverb to this program.
I think that would be very useful. As long as you have me as a guest, I would love to be able to either create that or say something. When I say something really important, have it on reverb, something like that.
Okay.
Anyway, you know, in Wizard of Oz, when he says, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, and the dog has pulled the curtain away, and there he is spinning the little dials and all that stuff. I think you guys think of me as that guy. That's how I think you really look at me. Like I'm behind some curtain, and there's just a dog that pulled it open, and all I'm doing is spinning big D dials and stuff. Oh, there you are. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. That's very funny, Dwayne.
I just got more tricks up my sleeve.
Now you do. You are good. You're a good radio host here. Anyway, so the hour closed at 12:98:25, so we're still valid here, and this is a place for people to consider again taking on a position here. And with, again, manage the risk. Don't bet the farm on it. You know, a reasonable risk is all that's necessary. And I think, Dwayne, right now, I think that's everything we have for today, unless you have any other questions for me. And if not, the gold is real important. We're critical on the gold. We're critical on the S&P. Both February 23rd and February 24th, as we mentioned, there was big moves into all these dates because all the markets had, not all, but a lot of the markets had lined up with that date. And so they've had these big moves, and this is where we're at critical junctures now. So there's going to be some good trading over the next couple of days into next week. And I'm looking forward to it. The volatility on the downside, you know, we had a big move down. This is what volatility picks up, and there's some nice trading to be had. So I hope anything that I've said today with regard to these price levels and things like that, the roadmap, whatever, is helpful. And, Dwayne, unless you have anything else, I really appreciate the reverb.
Rob,
I just want to be able to say, Jim never asked for a second cup at home. I want to be able to say that at some point.
Okay, hang on.
Well.
All right. Let's try. Yeah, this would be good. Go ahead.
Jim never asked for a second cup at home.
There you go.
You can practice that and get it better.
There's your 5 seconds of fame. Yeah. There's too many buttons in this equalizer. Rob was away for a few days. Rob, I see your question. And he wants to know, apparently he missed the unveiling of the Las Vegas seminar. So, yes, Rob, it's on. And you can call Page Trader, call David.
Or you can go to masterforecastercourse.com.
That's it.
And there's a whole ad there that goes through the details of this. If that's it takes a little time to read it, so, you know, but it'll give you the details, etc.
Hide the wife, hide the kids, go look at the ad.
Right, exactly. So, Dwayne, tomorrow should be interesting. Let's see how it all goes. Thanks for your questions today for the listeners, and I look forward to talking with you tomorrow with that reverb. Get to work on that. That's beautiful.
Okay, bye.
Okay, I'll talk to you then. See you guys later.
All right. Bert, you still there?
I am, Dwayne.
Okay, so we are doing a webinar today at 3:30.
3:30, correct.
You know, I've been all over town. I've not seen one billboard. I mean, do we have we put the word out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we on yeah, we have.
Okay, we're just kidding.
Oh. And for those that are listening,
guys,
that are,
we don't really have any billboards. Okay, so there. Just to clear
the other thing too is the guys that were in the training room and were having a problem with the ladder of the indicators. They are working on it. It's just backed up today, so it'll probably be resolved this afternoon.
Okay.
But I'm on their butt. They're just backed up with the volatility in the market.
Okay.
So.
All right then. All right. Well, Michael is already gone, I believe. So I'll go ahead and sign off and close out here. We'll be back. Afshin says I didn't receive any email concerning the webinar. Yeah. No, I didn't. No, Alan, I didn't email the link because it just kind of dawned on me that we even had this webinar this afternoon. Not that I wasn't told, it just I've been busy.
Can you go to the website, Dwayne? Show them the website and go where to go.
Where's it at on your page?
Yeah, if you go to just go to danielstrading.com. And go to the bottom of the page, or the bottom of the home page.
danielstrading.com.
Okay. And go, now scroll down to the bottom.
All the way?
Nope. All right, go up a little bit. Go up a little bit. By the way, the website has market news, so all right, now click on that.
Okay, right here, guys, where there's no picture.
Actually, yeah, that's kind of strange. Actually, I have a picture on mine.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Let me reload my page. Maybe it just didn't load the image for some reason. Yeah, I loaded that time. There you are.
All right, so just click on that. Put your name, phone number, put all your important information. And no one will harass you.
Yeah. Give us all that stuff we already have.
Yeah, we already know and already have, and we'll go from there.
All right, and it's at 3:30 Central, and it'll be about an hour. So
yep.
It'll last about an hour. All right, Bert, well, I will see you there.
All right, see ya.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for another hour of Reverb Radio. Now, you notice I typed in up here, waiting for resistance to print. Back to that hourly chart. Okay, we had support here. Okay, best case entry would have been 1296. Okay, that's when this dot printed and this candle opened, which then led to this move. Okay. Now, as it starts to retrace, you're like, well, where's the resistance? I mean, that's just natural. You're like, well, where's the resistance? Like over here, off of this move up, as soon as it starts to come off, there's the resistance. But up here, pull back, still no resistance. Now this is an hourly candle. This candle right here began 7 minutes ago. So if you're using this, not necessarily to trigger yourself into a trade, but to set the stage for a trade, okay, you're either using whatever it is you're using to get long from this area, because if you're waiting for something to tell you to get short, then you're going to have to wait 53 minutes before you could potentially get a resistance dot. Let me just make sure I made that clear, because in my head, I don't think I did. This support dot is under this candle. Nothing's going to happen with the dots until it's time for the next hourly candle. So, in other words, could you glance at the market every hour, on the hour, 24 hours a day, to see if there's a change? Well, you could. Or Michael could write an indicator that sends you a text message or an email. Right? Okay. So, no matter if we go higher or if we go lower, and that's a good point. We could start to go lower right here. Okay. And if we traded down through this support, guess what? We would still have to come back up to find the resistance, because that's the way it works. Resistance, support, resistance, support. Over here is a good example of going back to Monday, Sunday night. Price traded down through support. Well, you think it would print resistance here? Nope, it's over here. Once it prints support, even if you trade down through it, the next order of business is resistance. So being long off here, based upon whatever it is that you use to get long off of, whether it's a 2100 tick or a 10K, or you have your own system, your own methodology, if you want to be short the market, then that's not going to happen for another 51 minutes. Potentially. I'm not saying there'll be a red dot in 51 minutes. I'm saying that's the earliest that there could be a resistance dot. So, resistance, support, and at some point, we'll get resistance, just not yet. Okay, so everyone that wants to go to the webinar this afternoon, just go to danielstrading.com, scroll down, do you see Bert's picture? TSC CFRN, click it, and we'll see you there. And that's going to do it. Thanks so much for tuning in, whoever you are, wherever you are. May God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
No greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.